Welcome, everyone. This is Pam Drennan, and this is the Cosmic Contact Show, coming to you from the RBR Network. Glad to have you joining us this evening. Anyone can access this show by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Renford Live or by going to the archives, which is really the on-demand section, afterwards, and you can check the show out there. If you're not online or have someone who wants to hear the show, you can call in to 347-838-9142. If you wish to talk to the guest, you can call in to 347-838-9142, and Annie, the moderator, will get you in. Well, it looks like a really interesting evening so far. I've not been able to make contact with my guest. So I've got Annie trying to reach him. So in the meantime, you get to listen to me for a few minutes. But I want to tell you all about our RBR network and that we have 11 shows in this network. And I've, of course, am the first one on Mondays at 30, that's Pacific Coast time. And then after that, we have the Tuesdays, we have the I Am Well show. And that comes on at 8 p.m. All this is Central Standard Time. We have the Night Search show. That's with Eddie Middleton. He's at 9:30 p.m. It's really good because he's all about the UFO stuff. So it's always interesting to hear what he has to say. Wednesdays is the No Show. It's at 7 p.m. And that's with Robert McMillan. And he's out of Little Rock, Arkansas. The Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program is live at 8:30. And it's hosted by James Renford Powell from Memphis. And he's the one that owns this network. So he always has great people on his show, too. So check him out. We have the Progressive News Weekly show. That is on Thursdays. And that is with Daryl Clark. And that's out of New York. Now, Fridays is the Searchers Roadmap show, and that's at 1 p.m., and that's hosted by Rhonda Harrison from the Red Feathers Lake, Colorado. The Dream Vision 7 show is at 3 p.m., and that's hosted by Deborah Bouvet from Boston, and she has takes a lot of our shows and puts them on her show. She has a huge network that she works with, which we're happy to be part of. The Soul Town, The Sound of Music, that's Saturday. That comes on at 3 p.m. And it's hosted from Memphis. And that's with Reginald Jenkins. Then on Sunday, again, it's the Vision 7 show. So you can see all week long we have some really interesting, wonderful shows to listen to and see who's on and what's going on and keep you up and abreast with everything. Well, I'm still trying to get in touch with the wonderful person I have on this evening, but for some reason, he's just not coming in, even though I keep dialing his number. But he knows to call in here, too, so I guess I'll just have to wait and see what shows up for him. And he keeps slipping out, and I keep losing him. Wow. I've got a whole evening, and I can talk to you all about anything. I can't even get Annie on the line right now. This is one of those wonderful things that makes you almost feel like Mercury is retrograde, even though it's not. But I sure have talked to a lot of people lately that seem to be having something that's going on that seems to be affecting them, if not physically, maybe even mentally. I think a lot of things are going on with relationships. I do believe, hold on a second, maybe I've got him in here now. Hello?
Hi, it's Peter.
Oh, yay, thank you. I tried and tried to call you. It would not
For some reason, every time I tried to answer, it just dropped the call.
I know. Well, it that's why I gave you that number to call me, because this happens. But anyway, thank you for being on, and I'm so excited to have you this evening.
Oh,
wow,
here.
God, Peter, before we start, now I want to tell people about you so that
okay.
They'll know something. Here, let me do a little bio I've wrote up here. And the reason I have you on the show is I did find you on another Blog Talk radio show, and I just love the Edgar Cayce work, and it's very powerful. I've read several of his books, but Peter is a student of Edgar Cayce and has been since the late 1970s. He first learned of Edgar Cayce while in college at Harvard University, where he earned a bachelor's degree in psychology. He also has a master's degree in social work from Boston University. He's an accomplished psychotherapist, hypnotherapist, and lecturer. So this is amazing. Glad to have you on the show for sure.
Thank you.
And so you've been on the staff with the ARE, which is Association of Research and Enlightenment, since 2004, and working in the public relations department. Wow. I know that you're really enjoying working with ARE, and you have an evening with Edgar Cayce where you do this one-man show. There's so many things I would like for you to share with us. I'm going to just really, let me tell everybody, though, how to reach you. Now, if you do want to get in touch with Peter, do you want to give them your email address or your website? How can they reach you? What's the best way to reach you after this show? They may want to call you up and talk to you.
Okay. Do you want me to give it to you now?
Yes, that'd be great.
Okay. It's peter.woodbury@edgarcayce.org. And that's peter.woodbury, and it's wood, B-U-R-Y, at edgarcayce.org. And my website is peterwoodbury.wordpress.com.
Okay. Well, good. Well, I've looked at your website several times and with the Edgar Cayce, too, and I loved everything that you're doing and you're sharing. You know, I've noticed on there you chewing about, I see many lives, many masters, fabulous book, One Source, Understanding Karma, and Your Place in the Divine Plan. Now, I could ask about
yeah.
any of those things. What would you like to share with us this evening about that? What would you like to say? I mean, I'm just going to have to leave it up to you because I want to hear everything and maybe starting out how you what got you into working with Edgar Cayce.
Well, I've been interested in psychic phenomena since I was a child because my great-grandmother was a medium, but she lived to be 107. And so she just, I got interested, you know, she was about, I was about 7 when she passed away. And I was just always curious about psychic phenomenon. And then as I went about, you know, growing up and learning more about all sorts of things, I kept that side hobby about psychic phenomenon. And I hadn't really found anything that really fully absorbed me until I learned about Edgar Cayce. And I think in him I found the metaphysical and the spiritual and the psychological combined. And once I started reading about him and about the material that came through him, it just fascinated me, and I couldn't get enough of it. And eventually I moved here to Virginia Beach about 10 years ago and have been part of the organization ever since.
Amazing. Well, that's wonderful. But you also teach classes with them, right? What are the past regression workshops?
Yes, I teach a week-long hypnosis past life regression course. Basically, Edgar Cayce would do what he did under hypnotic trance. I mean, he would go in a very deep trance state, and somehow he could access all kinds of information about people's health conditions, and then also about their past lives. And so, you know, with the work of Brian Weiss, that became into vogue about seeing if people could do that for themselves, if people could go into trance and somehow, you know, cross behind the veil, so to speak, and remember their past lives. And so I took Brian's course, and I've been doing that myself. I've been working with people to remember not just past lives, but to go into what I call soul contact, which is once you cross behind the veil, sometimes you can remember a past life or your series of past lives. Sometimes you have like what people describe in a near-death experience where you contact deceased relatives and you meet with sometimes you could call them guides or a council, and they kind of advise you or remind you of kind of the sole purpose or the mission that you came into life for. So under hypnotic trance, I think we really expand who we are. At least our consciousness right now is pretty limited. And then once we go into deeper levels of consciousness, we really tap into a much larger perspective of who we are.
Well, okay. Of course, I understand that completely. I am a hypnotherapist myself, past and present.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yes, and I mean, I love this stuff. I believe it. I've had it done to me. You know, one thing I just really have been reading about is about the many lifetimes that we have here. And But what I'm understanding, Peter, is that our spirit, when we leave here, does not return, that we stay in spirit realm, oversoul that works with us comes back with other spirits in other lifetimes, in other bodies. Is that right? Do you understand what I'm saying there? Do you have a question, answer on that?
Well, you know, I don't know exact. All I know is kind of the experiences that people report. The term, actually, you brought up the term oversoul. I used that one time in a regression that I was having, where I was in the in-between life state, and I was meeting with my counsel, and then the oversoul came, and the oversoul was kind of like, it had this like archangel kind of energy. It was very firm, and I'd never heard that word, and so I went and Googled it, and then that word came from I think it was from Emerson, and he talked about that the oversoul was the perfected soul from the other side, and somehow here on the earth we're kind of trying to emulate that spirit. But I don't know what to call it. I mean, I call it soul contact. I think that when people go behind the veil, you know, when they remember their past lives, my sense is that there's some infinite part of them that is experiencing these past lives, and that the infinite part of them continues on, and then we'll have future lives. Edgar Casey said really strange things about that. He said that they all actually happen in one time. So our sense of past, present, and future is not really, it's kind of artificial from this earth dimension. Once we're out of the earth realm and out of the body, all time is one. So somehow everything happens simultaneously, which is a little hard to wrap your head around.
Well, but I've heard this over and over. I'm so glad that you're sharing this about. really, it's like, okay, so how come we can't see all those different dimensions and things? Of course, I know that's because we're in this dimension, that we're in this lower dimension. Have you ever yourself experienced seeing that different ones that, you know what I'm saying, or had someone you did hypnosis with that to
have
share
I ever
that?
Seen my, have I ever seen my own past life?
Yeah, have you ever, you know, when you experienced it, were you able to see the different levels that we don't see now, just what you were speaking about?
Well, the work that I started doing was doing past life regression. So when I first started doing this work, I would take people behind the veil, and then they would remember past lives, sometimes up to three of them. And they were continuity, and they would be able to identify people that were in their current life now, and they would see them from other, you know, in other roles in past lives. So it was kind of a typical past life regression. And then I remember I was working in Detroit for a week, and people began to have similar but different experiences. They went behind the veil, you know, the transition point where you take somebody through the induction and then they transition to their own experience. Then they began just having, entering realms of kind of healing, where they were, each space had a different color and a different vibration. And so I've come to think that everybody that does this work, I think you have guides that work with you, and you develop a kind of a specialty. And so I think the specialty that I've developed, or the soul group that works with me, is that when we cross behind the veil, people get, I think they get whatever they need. It's almost like they give themselves a reading in the way that Edgar Cayce could for other people. Like they'll get either, sometimes they'll get past life memories still, sometimes they'll get a string of them, sometimes they'll have contact with deceased relatives, and then sometimes they go into the in-between life state and, you know, we'll be able to see their what the plan was for this life, and they'll get the contact with their counsel and their guides. I've had, I haven't had, my experiences that I've done under hypnosis have been past lives and then one time in between life with my guides and counsel, which is that time when I experienced the oversoul.
Okay. Well, that is so interesting, and I love talking to you about all of this.
Thank you.
Well, there is so much that you can share with us about Edgar Cayce, and I would love to hear what you know, do you have little tidbits, little things that you thought found were really interesting and you would like to share with us about what some things that he did that maybe we don't know about? You know, the one thing I thought was really amazing was when I listened to that little short talk about an evening with Edgar Cayce, when you said about how his father, once he found out he could do these readings, was really hoodwinked him into doing them, and so he could ask him how to bet on horses and stuff, and told Edgar he would do.
Yeah.
I mean, anything like that. That was so interesting. I had not heard that before. Maybe I've missed it.
Well, Edgar Cayce lived a very unusual life. You know, he was, the Edgar Cayce that's become famous, you could say, is the Edgar Cayce really who could go under trance and could bring forth information from the other side, you know, from this, you know, source. So that's the Edgar Cayce that when you call him Edgar Cayce, it's really Edgar Cayce under trance and kind of bringing forth this information. That's become his fame. But Edgar Cayce, the man in the waking state, he was very, very psychically gifted. He was telepathic and clairvoyant. He could see people's auras, and he also could see people that were on the other side. You know, so in a room, he could tell if there were people that what he would call discarnates that were there. So his waking state was very, very psychic. Then he developed that ability when he lost his voice. He lost his voice for about 8 months, and they began to try hypnosis because it showed some promise. He could speak, when he was under trance, he could speak in a normal voice. But when he would come out, he would lose his voice again. And so they kept that going until they finally, he gave himself a reading, and he diagnosed the condition that he had a psychosomatic disorder, and so that he needed to be told to return the blood flow to his vocal cords. And so he did that, and the people there said throat became bright red as the blood returned to his vocal cords. And then he could speak normally when he came out of the trance. And then that became the first reading. The doctors who were doing the hypnosis, they asked him if he could do this for other people, if he would try it. And he did. And so for about 40-some years of his adult life, he gave about 2 or 3 readings a day. And that's we have copies of 14,306 of his readings here at the library at Virginia Beach. And so he went around, you know, helping people that were ill. 2/3 of his readings were for illness, but the other third were on 10,000 different subjects. So he basically could answer pretty much anything anybody asked him. He would tune in to some universal source of wisdom or knowledge and then bring that forth.
Well, what an amazing man. You know, I wonder, I'm sure that, he didn't remember what was came through for he went
no,
into life.
No, he would say that he gave over 15,000 readings and he never heard of one.
That's amazing. Right.
Yeah, he would wake up and sometimes he'd had a dream while he had been talking for an hour, and he'd wake up and he'd ask, did you guys get anything? And then sometimes he'd tell him a dream that he had while he, you know, part of his consciousness was bringing forth this information. Another part of him was somewhere else having a dream.
Oh, so very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, but didn't they, I think they said that we just kind of used him up and wore him out, and that, how old was he when he crossed over and made his transition?
He was 67 when he passed away, and a lot of people think that was, you know, young for somebody. Why couldn't he help himself? But he, towards the end of his life, you know, he had, he used to give his readings by word of mouth. There is a River, the biography of his life, came out, and it became a bestseller. And then there was also a magazine article, and he started getting thousands or hundreds of requests for readings. And so it was during the war, and he was told to only give two to three a day, and he started giving 10 and 12. So he completely exhausted himself. And then when he was convalescing, he had heart failure.
Hmm. Well, that sure can happen, and people need to realize we can use ourselves up. But what
yeah,
a great person,
yeah,
just to be able to give and give and give. Did he get paid for these readings?
Did he get paid?
Uh-huh.
Yes, he charged $25, but if somebody couldn't afford it, that he would give it anyway. But that was for a period of time, that was his source of income. I mean, when he was younger, he made his living as a photographer, but later on, especially during the Depression, he had to make his living off of the organization, the ARE, and off of the readings. He was never wealthy.
Okay, when you are doing your talks at ARE, or when you're teaching,
yeah,
and things like that too, so do you just, people want to ask you all kinds of questions about, you know, Edgar Cayce, and is that part of what you do with people too, is to share like your evening with Edgar Cayce?
Oh, yes, when I do the performance of an evening with Edgar Cayce, part of it is a question and answer period, and I think people really enjoy that part. I mean, I think I've read most of his biographies, and I read the book of his letters. And so I had a background in theater after college, and so I'd left that behind. But when I moved here, it was the 75th anniversary, and they wanted to put together a play about Edgar Cayce. So they asked me to, at that time it was a play called The Freak, but it didn't work out to actually do that play, so I made a kind of adapted something, and that's become the evening with Edgar Cayce. So it's Edgar Cayce tells the story of his life, and then takes questions, and then he goes into the times that we're living, and tries to just help people understand, you know, the soul choices of being here at this time of, you know, the great transition between the Piscean to the Aquarian age, and all the promise and all the challenges that we're living through right now. We're all very, very brave souls from Edgar Cayce's perspective that we've all chosen and been chosen to be alive at this time.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you're talking about at this time. So what did he, in his, some of his readings, did he say about this time that we're in right now? And I assume that we are all coming into Christ consciousness.
Yes. Yes, he talked about how we first came into Earth out of curiosity. And then as we got deeper and deeper into this material dimension, we got farther and farther away from our soul consciousness. And so the soul consciousness drifted into the subconscious mind. So that's why hypnosis helps us come into soul realization, because we access the soul in waking consciousness when the ego waking mind is subdued. So when we sleep and have dreams, or when we meditate, or with experiences, either a near-death experience or a hypnosis experience, that's when we go into the subconscious mind and we access soul awareness. And so as we've gotten deeper and deeper into the material world, we've begun acting in ways that are non-spiritual, because the spiritual consciousness is oneness, and the material consciousness is separateness. And so from separateness comes fear and anxiety, which breeds all sorts of things like greed and violence and hierarchies and all that sort of thing. And so there's been a soul consciousness that's been trying to help remind us as souls that we're more than a physical body, that we have to try to move back into spiritual soul awareness, or with the universal laws that are in place, let's say with karma, if we continue to act selfishly and greedy, it's just going to beget that. We're just going to, that's going to come back at us. And then we deepen our kind of karmic cycle into the earth. And so the great teachers have come, whether, you know, Jesus, Buddha, whoever your avatar is, Edgar Cayce, and they're trying to help us understand how to use compassion and forgiveness and grace to release karma and to move back into spiritual consciousness. And the goal is not really to all of us get the heck out of the earth, but to bring spiritual consciousness into the earth. Basically, since we have free will, we're the only kind of being that can defy our divinity, whereas everything else on the earth, you know, all the animal, plant life, that's all in perfect harmony and balance with the Creator. And so eventually, the hope is that we in the earth also live in harmony and balance with the Creator, whereas right now, we aren't quite there.
Well, can I ask, do you feel like that we are getting there? That I feel like that people are really waking up more now and faster than ever. And there's more people that are meditating and wanting to know, you know, what this lifetime is about and what we're here to do and wanting to make the changes. So
the old paradigm is just louder.
What? I'm sorry, what did you say?
The old paradigm is just louder. So the old way, it just draws more of the attention. But you're right, all this spiritual consciousness that's coming in, it's just softer and quieter. You know, God's way is never kind of with power and with pomposity. You know, that's the transition from, you know, moving into the Aquarian Age. The Aquarian Age, according to Edgar Cayce, has the promise of us being able to realize the true brother and sisterhood of our humanity. And so we're just in that bumpy kind of transition. You know, as one of our speakers says, the vibration of the womb of the earth has raised. And one of the core laws from Edgar Cayce's perspective is that like attracts like. And as the vibration of the earth is becoming higher, only higher souls will be drawn into the earth. So there's a transition of as higher vibrational souls begin to come into the earth, there'll be, in a way, the door will be closed to kind of the mixed energy souls for a period of time. You know, Cayce referred the Book of Revelation, especially where it talks about how the devil will be bound for 1,000 years, and then the devil will be released. And Cayce interpreted that, meaning just that as the vibration of the earth rises, these higher vibrational souls are going to have a period of time to establish the spiritual consciousness on the earth. And then later on, all the other souls will be coming back in. A little bit like it takes a village to raise a child. The expectations will be spiritualized as the new souls come in. So we'll see if it works. I mean, the challenge, according to Edgar Cayce, is that we've been at this transition point before in Lemuria and then in Atlantis and now. And in Lemuria and Atlantis, the consciousness of humankind was not quite ready to make that shift. It was close, but it fell once again into, just all the temptations of, whatever you want to call it, away from the, sharing and oneness. And so the hope, you know, Cayce talks about that none of us are here by chance, that we're all here as the hope for this transition to take place. We all have an important role to play. I mean, you're playing it with having a radio show like this where you can spread this good news and help people, find their way and access their own inner truth and get into, contact with their soul consciousness through hypnosis. And like you were saying, we see it all over the world. I mean, the New Age movement is, and I think Edgar Cayce was a big part of starting the New Age movement, but that the New Age movement is everywhere. And the New Age movement has a lot to do with God being the God of all people, that we've gotten, you know, that history has gotten a lot into basically, you know, my God can beat up your God, and then we have wars over religion. And that's just not right anymore. I mean, we believe that, you know, we're tired of the franchising of God, and God's one with all. And so I think the New Age movement is that, that we're all moving into a oneness perspective, you know, that we're the whole is greater than the parts.
Yeah, and that we're all in this together.
Yes.
And we've got to work together. And
yeah, exactly.
To make the changes, it can't be, you know, it takes all of us to do that.
Yes, and each one of us has is unique and has a part to play.
Right. Well, so, gosh, there's a thousand things I would like to ask. I think this is such an exciting talk. I don't know, what do you do? What do you do just to make your connection every day?
What do I do?
Tell me how you, some of the things you are doing, you know, you're practicing.
Well, lately I've been, I've been traveling. I travel for the ARE and I lead tours for them, and I realized I'd been to 9 cities and actually, you know, 2 other countries in the past 6 months, so 9 weeks out of town. So the past 2 weeks I've just been taking a staycation, and I've just been sleeping and, you know, resting and swimming and trying to avoid the sharks and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm just kind of kidding, but if I can have, you know, half an hour where I sit in silence and call it meditation, and I can have time to pray, look at my dreams, do some journaling, make sure I spend time outside, and try to eat well. You know, that's a big part of, you know, and then connecting with my friends, you know, just those sort of things. You know, just trying to, you know, the energy here a little bit, we have to avoid the Edgar Cayce draw to overwork. You know, he made it clear that, you know, there's 24 hours in a day, 8 for sleep, 8 for work, and 8 for everything else, 8 for recreation and relaxing. And then he says we pay a price when we tinker with that. So I try to remember that. I hear a lot of us in our whole country, you know, there's one of those, one of the candidates is running for presidency, and he says that we're not working enough. And I just think, I don't know anybody that's not working enough. I think everybody's pushing really hard. I think we just try to find balance. I mean, that's what I try to do, make sure I balance. You know, not everything being mental. You know, I do a lot of mental work and making sure I have time to just play, time outside and fresh air. And then, of course, you know, if we can do, I love the quote that says, you know, everybody should meditate, you know, for half an hour a day, unless, of course, you're really busy and you're really stressed out and you have a whole lot going on. In those cases, then you should meditate for an hour every day. So I like that quote.
I do too. Well, tell me some more things that you would like to share that Cayce shared that he thought was important that we could do so we can get through this lifetime and, you know, to make a difference while we're here.
And I think, you know, one of the things, you know, Edgar Cayce is considered the father of holistic medicine because, you know, when he gave readings for the body, for people that were sick, he talked about the mind-body-spirit connection. But I think he's a forerunner, a father of holistic theology, because even though he, the man, was a devout Christian, he talked about God as, you know, much broader than the religion. So he brought in, you know, meditation to Western thinking, in the United States, and he brought in the concept of reincarnation and karma and the kundalini, all these kind of concepts that were common for Eastern thought. So there isn't much that I would find that's new in Edgar Cayce, but it's just a wonderful synthesis. You know, I think that when you're a seeker, somehow, you know, like for me, I grew up Christian, and I remember I just never made sense to me that it says no one gets to the Father but through me. you know, that Jesus, you had to have Jesus to get to God, and somebody born in China never heard of Jesus wasn't somehow going to go to heaven or didn't have access to God. That never quite made sense to me. And then Casey went and interpreted that, and he said that when Jesus said the me, he wasn't speaking anymore as Jesus the man, but the Christ, the consciousness, and that no one gets to God except through that Christ consciousness. Now, that's much broader. Now, Jesus epitomized that, but the Christ consciousness is just the awareness that we're all one, that you and me and everything looks all separate in that, but the truth behind the veil, we are all one. We're all on the same team. You know, that like the koan, the Japanese Zen koans about trying to understand oneness. Casey was really big into that, understanding it's all one. You know, when you talk, he talked about past, present, and future lives, he said it's all one. We're all one life. They're all happening at the same time. It's one time. So, you know, trying to think of other things that people, I just think that if you're into the New Age, I think it's worth taking a look at Edgar Cayce, because he was one of the founding fathers, so to speak, of the New Age movement. And the organization's right here in Virginia Beach. You know, we have a library of his readings, you know, the 14,306 readings. You'll be surprised about how much that's commonplace in medicine, in science, in the New Age movement. It had its origins from Edgar Cayce. A lot of it isn't given credit to, but if you explore his material, you'll see the roots of so much that goes through Edgar Cayce. So, you know, we have our website, edgarcayce.org. You can also, if you go to YouTube and look up Edgar Cayce, you can learn more about him. You know, whatever your particular interest is, you know, if you have an interest in health and you want to look at alternative ways of treating almost any condition, you can find that on the website. If you're interested in astrology or numerology or phrenology, you know, he gave readings about all of those different topics. So there's just so much. There's such a vast amount of information. And, of course, there's thousands of books that have been written interpreting his work. And you know, our organization's here. We have two conferences a month on these different subjects. People come from around the world both to lecture here and to attend our conferences. And then we also have, you know, we send people out like myself around the country to give talks. Like I'll be in San Diego in September and Detroit in November. And, you know, we have in the spring and fall, they have like, I think, four field conferences, they call them, a month. So if you're a seeker, I think you'll be surprised about this material. It's worth taking a look. He's gotten a little bit forgotten, I think, you know, but he's really the George Washington of the New Age.
Especially regarding people who are having health issues. What a great place to go and check out if you've got some health symptoms, you know, and see what he recommended. Because I think that would be one of the first things. If I had a big problem, big health issue, I would go and see what was in his archives about how to correct or heal or, you know, if he did that in any reading. Surely it's going to cover pretty much everything that would show up.
Yeah, and it's very complimentary. It's not like he said there was no place for conventional medicine. He just weaved the line between conventional and alternative. And he was always, when he would give a reading, it was always kind of the least invasive treatment. I mean, sometimes, you know, like I have to take a thyroid replacement hormone for my thyroid has stopped working. And he talked about that. His reading said, you know, there's different ways to try to stimulate the thyroid, but at some point it's just not working. You need to take the replacement. And he said surgery is required, you know. So it's not his perspective was not a anti-anything. It was just you know, synergistic. It just weaved together lots of different modalities. But I think it's, if you're dealing with anything, especially something that contemporary medicine says is incurable, I would take a look at Edgar Cayce. You know, if I had a condition of psoriasis, which is considered incurable in the medical field, and I've had it treated and cured, and there's a doctor named John Pagano, and he has the best-selling alternative book on called Healing Psoriasis, and he basically goes through what Edgar Casey said about it, and he's now deceased, but he healed, I think, thousands of people from psoriasis and eczema.
Well, tell me his name again. Isn't that funny? Because I had a client friend last week that issue came up, and we were talking about John who?
John Pagano, P-A-G-A-N-O. And you can look at, he's also on YouTube. He has some really good talks. He'll explain to you the thinking behind it. It's basically, Edgar Casey says that when you have psoriasis or eczema, that it's basically leaky gut syndrome, that there's basically toxins are leaking from your gut back into your bloodstream, and they're being they're leaving your body through the skin instead of through the intestines. So the treatment for it is basically to heal the intestines. And so it's not easy. You know, you have to take these tea, and that's one thing. Casey's treatments were not simple. They weren't like just take two pills and call in the morning. You have to do some work. You have to change your diet. So it's very lifestyle change oriented. And then, you know, he talks about your thoughts and pretty much his remedies started that, you know, he said that the spirit is the cause and the mind is the builder and the physical is the result. So basically your body is a result of what's gone on in your mind and then what your connection to your soul or spirit has been. So you have to work on all three of those levels. So it's, see, the thing is that when you start applying a Casey reading for healing, you don't just heal the psoriasis, you heal your life. Like you get things in alignment, and then psoriasis is really just an example of something that's haywire with your mind and with your connection to your spirit. And so you'd be surprised how many things change by his treatments are basically aligning yourself with your God source, and then your health gets restored, but you also just become aligned. You know, he talks about how, you know, when you have the spirit and the mind aligned, the body is going to be healthy. You're going to, you know, part of his treatments always involve that you have to have a purpose and mission in life. He says there has to be a motivating influence for health. You can't just have health just because you want it. But in childhood you have that, but as you get older, you have to be motivated towards something, serving something, and then that's part of inspiring the body towards health, is the way that he put it.
Well, it seems like as we get older, it's when people start having more problems, and then all of a sudden they want to know, well, I mean, I'm going to make some life changes here. I've got to do some big things. I don't have to feel as good as I used to, and I'm starting to have all these physical problems.
It's hard. Our society does not make it easy to stay healthy. You know, Casey said that, you know, most illnesses can be remedied through diet and exercise. You know, eczema and psoriasis is really mostly related to diet. If Pagano's idea is that health isn't so much in what you eat, but it's actually in what you don't eat. Basically, if you don't eat like five different kind of foods, you will heal psoriasis.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Well,
yeah,
that was Chinese medicine. That would be all the different tastes. The pungent,
the things
sour,
that you
and sweet.
Are all the fun things. You know, it's like if everybody would take like a month and predominantly eat fruits and vegetables, you would not believe how much better they would feel. But that's hard, you know, because we have habits. Everybody likes a little ice cream. Everybody likes a little fried food. Everybody likes a little beer and, whiskey every now and then. So it's, Casey's stuff is that we think that food too much is pleasure rather than medicine, you know. And I grew up in a family where food was love and pleasure. So it had a lot of work to shift your dietary preferences.
Well, we do use food to love ourselves with. I know that.
Yeah.
But it's all the wrong things. What a great sharing with us, and I love all this stuff. I think it's just so interesting, and thank heavens that we had Casey to lead the way and to give his life for that. And I guess what a prime example that, you know, we can do that too, you know, that once we decide that we want to serve in this lifetime, I think that's what we're here to do, all of us, on some level.
Yeah.
Okay. What else do you want to share with us? You got anything that you want to, the last 50 few minutes here, we got 13 minutes left.
Sure.
Is there something you would like to just leave with people to tell them, food for thought or something that, you know, that you understand that has awakened
The Edgar Cayce, like, you know, you can talk, you know, like I said, there's, you know, 10,000 different subjects and there's all the health reading. I mean, people get excited about Edgar Cayce for so many different reasons. You know, you could have somebody talk about how fascinating it was that Edgar Cayce talked about ancient mysteries. And, you know, I had mentioned Atlantis and Lemuria. And, when he would talk about past lives, he talked about ancient Egypt and how the pyramids were built. And, you know, people are fascinated with that realm. People that are very much into the health readings and how to help us have, longevity and health, more extended. Now, my focus has been on the spiritual aspect of his reading, the kind of our relationship with our Creator and kind of our purpose for being here and kind of what we're trying to, how to realize our soul consciousness in the earth and how to help others with that. That's really been my focus and what I've been fascinated with. I think that there was a group of people when he was alive that wanted to know how they could become more psychic, become more like him. And little did they know that it was an 11-year process of giving readings that became two books that are known as Search for God. And these books are designed to be read as a group, not just to read alone. So you wrestle with it's two books of 12 chapters, and you get into a group. It's like a prayer study group, and you read the material, and you wrestle with it, and you try to make application of it in your life. Basically, with the premise of that, you're here to, that we're spiritual beings having a physical experience, and then how to become more aware of our spirituality, and then how to have more meaning in our life, which makes our life more enjoyable, more content. And so I, if anyone's interested, they have those groups around the country and around the world. I think it's a great way to, if you're into the spiritual application of this work. It's called Search for God, and you can call the organization and learn about if there's a group near you. There's just so much to talk about with Edgar Cayce. I mean, there's the incredible story, the hard-to-believe story. You know, one time when he was in trance, he recommended, as part of somebody's treatment, he recommended something called oil of smoke, and they couldn't find it anywhere. And so he went under trance, and he said, oh, they have it at this, Johnson's Apothecary in Dayton, Ohio. And so they called up the apothecary, and the guy says, oh, yeah, I've got that, and he went looking for it. And he says, God, it's in inventory, but I can't find it. And so they got Edgar Cayce back in trance, and he said, tell him it's on the third shelf behind the other, something else. And so they called the guy back, and I said, oh, it sounds weird. Could you look on the third shelf behind the, some other product? And the guy went, and that's where it was. So these, how did Edgar Cayce do that? I have no idea.
Wow.
There was another time where he and his son were in New York. They were having breakfast, and he just saw a woman sitting there, and he just went over to her, and he said, look, this is going to sound strange, but don't get in a car today. All day long, just don't get in a car. And he said, have a good day. And he went back to his son, and they finished breakfast. The next day, they're there having breakfast again. The lady shows up, and she runs up to him, and she says, how did you know that? And he said, well, what happened? He said, well, you scared me. My sister invited me for a ride, and I didn't want to go. So she took somebody else, and they had an accident. And that woman that she took is now in the hospital. There's another example. Just he had that waking state clairvoyance. He had a childhood friend that was got involved at high levels of the U.S. government and told the vice president about Edgar Cayce, and Edgar Cayce came in to give two readings for, I think it was Truman, and that became the foundation. If you believe this stuff, that became the foundation, which I do, for the League of Nations, which became the United Nations. So Edgar Cayce was involved with the highest level of people of his time. Nikolai Tesla got many readings from Edgar Cayce. When Tesla passed away, he left several of his patents willed to Edgar Cayce. It's a who's who You know, Harry Houdini came to Virginia Beach to prove that Edgar Cayce was a fraud. Houdini apparently had that hobby. He would disprove mediums, show them to be frauds, and he came and he left unsatisfied because he couldn't prove that it was fraudulent. There are many, many little side stories of Edgar Cayce's life. He was jailed twice for practicing medicine without a license.
Wow, what an amazing, wonderful person. And
yeah.
But I guess the thing, the amazing, wonderful oversoul or spirit, or soul that was working through him, you know, and guiding him and everything. To know that
yeah.
we all have that too. It's just, it's making that connection. It's believing in it, I guess, and,
yeah,
and working with it.
That's what my course is about. It's about, you know, we would have never known about Edgar Cayce's gifts if he hadn't had tried hypnosis. And one of the things I show people is that you might not be able to access the Akashic Records like Edgar Cayce did for somebody else, but you can certainly access your own Akashic Record, meaning your own soul story. And the Akashic Records is just the kind of the book of remembrance or the story of souls. He was able to do that for other people, which I think requires a much deeper level of trance than somebody to just find out their own. So I teach people really how to give themselves their own readings based on the belief that Edgar Cayce said the best psychic is self. And so people spend a lot of money sometimes going to see psychics, where I think I can teach them how to access their own inner wisdom, access their own truth, their own soul or psychic self. So if people are interested, they can email me or check out my course online. You know, visit edgarcayce.org and find out more about our organization. Or if they want to read, I would recommend that the first book to pick up would be There Is a River, which is the only biography that was written during his lifetime. And I think that's a good place to start. That's where I started, and that's what got me going.
Me too. Yes,
yeah.
And I read it twice. I loved it. I was just mesmerized
yeah.
in how, you know, they found him or how he was awakened, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And you remember the one, I thought the part was so good about when he couldn't, he was trying to learn something, studying, and I think his father or somebody was really pressing him to learn this, and he finally just laid his head down and fell asleep on his books and woke up and
yeah.
could remember everything in the book.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, things like that, it's like, oh, wow, I wish I could do that, you know.
Yeah.
But, yes. It was,
yeah, the author of that book, Thomas Sugrue, he was Hugh Lynn Cayce's, the Cayce's eldest son. He was his freshman year college roommate. So the family knew the author, Tom Sugrue, since he was like 18 years old. And so he came to live with the Cayce's. He was convalescing from an illness, and he must have been... I guess if Mr. Cayce was in his 60s, he must have been in his 40s. And he sat, as he was convalescing there, he would have these conversations with Mr. Cayce, and he asked him if he could write a book, because he had become a journalist, a writer. And that's how that book came to be. So that's considered really the official biography. It's the only book that was written by a close family friend.
Thank you for sharing. This is such great information, and I hope that the people that are online or in the chat room are listening in, and the people that are here too will come back and listen again to all this information you shared. And again, it's peter.woodbury@edgarcayce.org if you want to go in and check him out. And now, when's your next class? When are you teaching something again?
I'll be teaching the regression course. I'll be doing a Saturday class. I think it's October 17th or 18th, and then that's Sunday through Friday, you know, the 18th to the 25th, something like that. I'll be doing the course, but you can email me or find it online.
Okay, thank you so much for getting on and sharing your good stuff with us, and I hope to get you back again. And if you've got some new things you want to share, we would love it.
Sure, I'd be happy. I've enjoyed our conversation, so I'll be happy to come back anytime.
Great. Okay, we've got 3 minutes left. you have anything else you want to share before we hang up? Anything else that we need to know?
Well, I think that, you know, just a plug for the website, edgarcasey.org, and then the YouTube videos of anything we've said, you know, said, talked about tonight has inspired any interest. I would recommend you go there to check it out and come to Virginia Beach. And we have activities. It's open 7 days a week. We have free activities every day. We have a movie that orients you to what we do here and the work of Edgar Casey. Then we have a tour of the facilities. And then we have a lecture on Casey's subject. We also have an ESP class on the weekends. So it's a nice place. Virginia Beach is a wonderful place to come to visit. And, you know, we're just like one block from the beach, and there's a hotel nearby. And so it would be great if you ever wanted to come and check us out.
I used to go to Virginia Beach a lot when I lived on the East Coast because I had an aunt and uncle that lived there. But, of course, I didn't know about Edgar Casey then. But it is beautiful. It's awesome. Everybody that's ever been to Virginia Beach, you've got to go check it out. Thank you so much, and I really appreciate our talk this evening, and I want you to have a great life.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll talk again soon.
Annie, are you there? Hey, girl.
Yes, I am
here. Did you
want
to say something?
Well, that was a great show, and I was definitely listening when he was talking about the life divided in our daily life into 8 hours and 8 hours of play, or we pay a price. And I'm getting that lesson really loud and clear. So thank you for sharing that.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Absolutely. We all need to pay attention to that. So be sure and get online again. Me too. Thank you, everyone, for calling in. We have Drew Nicholson is on next week. We're talking about relationships, so be sure and check in next week at 4:30 if you've got questions. And have a good evening.
All right, thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.